Good afternoon. You are listening to 91.9 FM, WDRT in Viroqua, Wisconsin. This is the Heart of Wellness show with host Drs. Paul and Paula Grenier. Today's guests are William Kyle Glenn and Janelle Timmish. They're with us today to tell us about their involvement at the Confluence, a gathering that occurred at the Sovereign Ranch in Bandera, Texas earlier this month. Now, a funny side backstory, the word Confluence was of interest last fall. Locally, some folks put together a weekend called the Confluence to kind of connect folks together and build community. And I was at the co-op, and I ran into Janelle, and I said, hey, did you hear about the Confluence coming up? And she said, I was just at the Confluence. I said, no, it's happening in a couple weeks. She said, no, I was just at one about a week ago. And so then we're like, wait a minute, that was too interesting. So the word confluence, we realized is a word that is in the collective consciousness of folks in Wisconsin and folks in Texas, and we're going to hear about folks all over that you all got to be together with this last week. So that's the side backstory about the confluence. So thanks, folks, for both of you for being here today to fill us in on the wonderments of that weekend.
Well, maybe Dan could bring up the true definition. There it is, of confluence, but I'm guessing for us, if even that definition doesn't fit, it's togetherness. It's coming together. It's healing from the last years of separation that have been created, and we want to heal those polarities.
That's pretty good. It says to flow together from assimilated form of calm with together, to flow, flowing freely, to flow, a flowing together, especially of two or more streams.
So. Yes, that was very much our experience there. And the impulse behind this confluence that happened in Texas that Kyla and I are just back from. There were researchers, clinicians, physicians, people involved in economy, education, agriculture, across mothers, fathers, families, experts in all these different fields coming together, really wanting to expand the conversation that we have been in over the last few years, where it's been a little bit harder sometimes to express our truths fully and even our perspectives fully. I actually like that word a lot better. Mm-hmm. I think that there's really only one truth, that it's a truth about nature and how that works, and we have many different perspectives. And so here was an opportunity for us to come together and really listen to each other and grow and consciously influence and be the power behind the path that we want to be on into the future.
Yeah, I think there's just a collective restlessness right now. There's just something bubbling up. People are losing faith in traditional institutions. People are feeling ostracized by political structures and power systems, and feeling like the people, the so-called quote-unquote leaders, don't represent us. This was particularly highlighted in COVID, I would say, when the COVID-19 happened, but it was already building up well before that and continues to build up now. So people are just gathering and like, what the heck can we do? And it's amazing to see all the, and where we live here in the Driftless, there's already a lot of people doing that. Just what can we do differently other than just vote, you know what I mean, or just traditional things? What can we do? So the fact that when I heard from you, Paula, and you, Janelle, about this auspicious confluence synchronicity, like you were going to one, it was only 2 weeks apart. We planned an event called the Confluence, very similar topics, and these people in Texas planned one 2 weeks apart. And, you know, I'm a very spiritual person, so I don't take that lightly. You know, it was clear to me that we're, like, pulling from, like, the same, like, inspiration or spiritual influence there. And I was like, so Janelle did an amazing job of kind of connecting the two, the North Confluence with the South Confluence. And we talked to the organizers, a few Zoom calls, and we had a workshop and a we both had our own vendor booths, and we really got involved, and it was an amazing experience.
Well, you were there in person at the rivers that were confluencing.
Oh, yeah.
So what...
We're talking further up north. Yes, that's right.
So
about the confluence that we hosted.
We had
here.
Our own northern version of the confluence. Our group, Driftless United for Health Freedom, was invited by a group in Duluth called Common Ground, and then a group called Co-Creating Community in Minneapolis, and then other people too. We all converged in Duluth, and we talked. We just kind of basically shared what we're doing, and in that we hatched the idea of having an event in Viroqua. They all wanted to come to Viroqua, and we were Susan took us on a hike into rivers confluencing into Lake Superior, and I think it was Monica that was like, we should just call it the confluence. I'm like, that's a great idea. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, it was and that's what it feels like, that's happening. People are coming together. People are coming together, and let's just figure out what we got to do, because what we have been doing is not working. I think that's clear. I seriously think that anybody could see that at this point. I hope so anyway, mm-hmm. that we got to do something differently.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is where, coming from a wellness standpoint, is we want to be able to have a wide variety of opportunities for us to choose, whether you want to be a natural human, whether you want to utilize technology and chemicals for your health and wellness. That should all be a choice. And that's what I think a big part of that process is, our own consciousness around health, our own consciousness around being in this planet together. How can we coexist and have a confluence, two rivers coming together, going into one water? Like, how can we both be in that water and still be free to choose your health and wellness in your life? And homeschooling is a form of that. You know, like, oh, I want to homeschool my children. I want to be able to birth my children at home. Some states, that... I don't know if it is. Is that still some states where it's illegal?
Oh, I'd have to look in all those laws. I'm not sure.
And it's just so all of those same themes, health freedoms, like do I choose a natural health plan, or do I have to be forced to go through a medical program? You know, this is all things that have been, those questions have been asked for years. The last 5 years, 4 years have challenged that process. And so now we're, you know, picking up the pieces and trying to say, how can we live together and still have a group or world experience to say, hey, we want a fairness and we all care, right? We all care. Maybe, hopefully that did come out of that. We all care, and that we care so much that we might end up headbutting a little bit, you know.
No, that's just you, Paul.
But that's just me putting my horns down.
Yeah, put your horns up.
That bald head isn't too sharp, you know. So, but that process of how can we live in as Dan just brought up, a community confluence. Like we're as a community, how are we healing that, and how can we do better in the now and in the future? How can we do better of accepting these different ideas?
Well, up here, our confluence was held in the Commons with community in mind, right? Mm. The Texas one was held at, was it called the
Sovereignty Ranch.
Yeah. Maybe tell us a little bit about what that was like, because they named that for some reasons, like whoever started that down there. I'm curious their roots. You've been there twice, so maybe you have a little
background. So Molly Englehart and her family had a farm and a restaurant in California, and they were facing a lot of challenges to their ability to operate. And so they moved to this new ranch in Texas. And quickly, I'm so impressed with everything that they've managed to do. They're really rebuilding the soil there. They're providing housing for their workers. They're hosting events. Highly, yeah, just highly socially involved, conscious people. A lot of children.
a lot of children.
So yeah, it's a what was it, 500 acre ranch?
I think it's two, but she's
200 acre.
She's they're hoping to acquire more land. They're one thing that I find really beautiful is their collaboration with their neighbors, people who have been ranching on in the neighboring land for generations, and they have really come in not as newbies, not as hippies, but really ready to collaborate and learn from and with their neighbors. They're employing a lot of their neighbors, and I just find that to be so inspiring.
So they're seeming well received, you know, because you can have that feeling someone comes into town from California and you know, this is Texas, and
they're going, you know, they're organic.
Yes.
Yep. Okay, and so the neighbors are embracing them. Have they been there a couple of years? I mean,
yeah, they've been there a couple of years.
A couple of years, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they got a big operation. They got pigs, cattle. Was that emus that I saw over there?
Oh, I didn't see the emus.
They got some big birds.
I saw sheep and goats.
I don't know what they are, but I couldn't think of anything other than that. It's got to be emus. They got a bunch of hoop houses. They have this amazing regenerative beef restaurant.
On the ranch? At the ranch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then really good food, super, super good food. And then they are putting in a brewery. Mm-hmm. Is that what they're doing too?
And they're familiar with some of our people here, Mark Shepherd and Peter Allen. So that was a lovely discovery.
They're on the tip of the spear in a lot of different ways. At least the people there are like forwarding like topics like farming and sovereignty and consciousness and just to name a few, more than that. But
so just to give a glimpse for our listeners, like how many people you think were there gathering at this weekend in early April around the eclipse also, right?
I heard there were about 300.
Yeah, about 300 people there. Like, okay. And from all over, like you came from Wisconsin.
There was multiple people from Wisconsin. We met people from Milwaukee and was it Grafton?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Really good musicians there too, like really good songs, and like I call it like the revolution music. That's what I call it.
Yeah, it just felt like creating culture, recreating culture, renewing culture,
healing culture. I mean, we're again in a state of cleaning up, maybe after, you know, hopefully we've learned a lot from these last few years of how we can sit down at tables and talk to each other, really trying to understand and not let it get politicized, you know, let it get thrown into, that's just all in the same garbage can. It's like, no, this is a little different here. You know, we see it a little differently, and how can we listen and not only listen, but truly try to understand.
To me, there's a new way of being emerging, like a new way of life or something like that. I've heard people call it the new earth. I mean, we don't have to get too woo-woo about it, but like people just exploring new ways to live. And there's different nodal points and different like power spots probably around the globe, you know, and in this country. And I saw us like just connecting dots, like, you know, and then we had our confluence. We already had our confluence here. And then now there's an even bigger confluence down here, and now we're confluencing with confluences. And it's just connecting this web of connections, and all the cross-pollination that goes along with that is just hugely inspirational. I literally just got home this morning at 4 o'clock. I drove because I spent some time in Austin and Fort Worth as well at my sister's, and then I just came back. So I have not even completely processed and landed yet. Completely landed yet.
And you know, the political world, a lot of people, if anything about Texas, they won't even listen. You know, there might, you know, oh, Texas, it can't be, you know, because they don't agree with that. I mean, different states have been ostracized because, oh, well, there's a lot of variety of people in every state, in every town, in every family, for that matter, you know, that hopefully we can learn and say, hey, you know, maybe we just have to listen, that these ideas can come from any religion, any perspective on health, on finances, on governance, you know, like it's, we just got to, again, listen. We got to just sit down, open our heart, open our minds, and see if we can come up with something that works for everybody. You know, just to.
So, yeah, I agree. So what kind of things happen down there? Like, I know that you, I want to piece it down over this hour to get a picture, like what you learned,
what are some
what
new
you
ideas?
Gave, what are some new ideas, you know, so however you all want to start bringing up the amazingness of your time spent there.
Yeah, so some of the first people who started getting this together were folks who began speaking up during COVID and saying, we have some questions, there's naturopaths, there's homeopaths, there are physicians, there are experts in the field who have not been welcome at this table. They have been silenced and shut down. And as that was happening, those folks also started finding each other as well. Mm-hmm. And so there were events like this happening where some of those souls would speak, be speakers or presenters about information that they had about nature, healing, natural law, how does nature work? What happens when we get sunlight into our bodies? What happens when we get our bare feet on the earth? What happens when we're in
nice
healthy relationships?
That,
yeah, and Wisconsin. What happens when we heal our relationships in our family? What happens when we heal our relationship with government? What happens when we heal our trauma? And here are the practical steps for us all to start doing that so that we can become healthier as a people, where we're not vulnerable to, you know, the next bug that goes around, if you will. And so it was really about taking back our own power to heal ourselves and each other. So it was interesting for us being from Viroqua, which is very much, I think, a grassroots, ground-up sort of place. So many of us moved to the Driftless because we were looking for options for food, healthy food, options for education. We could homeschool. We can go to Waldorf school. We can have a charter school. We can be involved in our public schools.
Food
lifestyle,
choices.
Food choices, huge. Lifestyle, and just to be free thinkers. So for Kyle and I, coming from this really grassroots place, we were noticing, oh, this is a wonderful event, and all of these values that are being shared by the speakers, we really share those too. But it feels a little bit top down, even here, and so. Kyle and I were remembering from our local confluence that we had here, one of our favorite moments was when we opened up the conversation to everyone who was there. What have you been doing where you live? What excites you the most? Please share that with the group so that we can be inspired by this good news and celebrate you and learn from you and make connections in between. And so that's what we really wanted to bring to the Texas Confluence. And when we got there, we felt, oh, this is already so much in the morphic field. This is what this is what the organizers at the very center are saying. This is what participants are saying. We're all on the same page. There is so much shared experience. There is so much for us to learn from each other. How do we hear from everyone who's here? So what did we do, Kyle?
It's fitting that it was in Texas because I saw a lot of, like, I don't know, spiritual cowboys or something. Like, it's like people on the roughnecks on the frontier of consciousness or something like that. There's this I don't know, this really inspirational, like, courageous, I don't know if I want to say individualism, but uniqueness, just so much uniqueness and creativity, but in community. I heard the term lone wolf a lot. A lot of people that have had to, like, spearhead different things and feeling alone, but persevered with courage. And so there was so many unique, inspiring individuals at this thing. And so, yeah, so when we, there was a lot of well-known speakers, you know, at least in this industry, you could say. And our, like, our confluence here in Viroqua was people that just were doing whatever they could in their community. And so we wanted to bring a little bit of that, a little more of that vibe to it, because what I found in just my, like, 5 years of organizing and activism is that, like, you don't have to do everything. Like, the piece, if you just allow what's in the room to come forth, like, just allow people to draw out what, or, like, to help people bring out what they have to contribute. So we really wanted to, so we talked with the organizers. They were interested in this as well. And we led a workshop, a leadership and action workshop is what they called it, where we were focusing on ways that people have been leaders in their lives. And you know, it's interesting because a lot of people, I don't know, when you go and you see the really impressive work that a lot of these people are doing, it can be intimidating. I mean, me and Janelle talked about this. I went through multiple times where I'm like, am I qualified to do this? Like, am I qualified to lead this workshop? You know, because, like, when we were sitting down, we got, like, John Bush is in the circle, who's, like, well-known in this, in the activism circles and health freedom circles, and then, you know, some other pretty, you know, well-known people. And I was, you know, so I had to work through that myself. But, you know, and talking to Janelle, I'm like, that's what everybody else is doing. Yeah. Maybe not everybody, but a lot of people are, this is a daily battle. Even, you know, even the best speakers, the most polished speakers, most likely at one time had to go through that battle within themselves. So we wanted to bring that more to the forefront. Like, let's even that playing field. We had some circles, some speakers peppered in the circle, and then we had attendees peppered in there, and everybody was just talking about what they're doing, and, you know, and ways they've taken leadership, how they felt, how they were challenged, advice, and it was very, very beautiful. And it just makes it I guess destigmatizes it. I think it's very refreshing to hear somebody that, you know, you look up to. Mm-hmm. And hear that they are feeling some of the same things that you're feeling, and they're doubting themselves in ways that you doubt yourself. And it just makes it more accessible. Like, I can do this too, or, like, they're human, you know? Mm-hmm. So we really strived to do that, and I think we did it. I think we, don't you think? I mean, I think we at least for 2 hours in that circle, you know, there was just a really beautiful sharing that happened that I think was very nourishing.
Sweet.
And speaking of lone wolves, WDRT 91.9, sitting out here in the mountains, lone wolf all by themselves, started over 10 years ago. And leadership, they're leading the way in free speech, opportunities for people to share their own music and their own style, their own leadership, you know, in the consciousness of being able to share what's inside their heart. And that is the crux, the connection, the heart of wellness's way. That's why we're here. That's why we've been here for 10 years, took a little break, but we're back just sharing, you know, everybody's got a different angle on life. 8 billion people on this planet, and they all got a different voice. You can tell the difference. And so that's what WDRT brings, 91.9, a different voice, lone wolf, keep her going.
Right, and if you're just joining us, the two lone wolves who are in a wolf pack now, who represented Wisconsin. Did you say that?
We
represent Wisconsin and Texas. We have William Kyle Glenn, who you might recognize his voice from his Conscious Bro show on WDRT, and Janelle Timmish, who is a local wonderful body worker who gifts all of us with her fine hands, or fine tuning, maybe I should say now, Janelle,
that too.
Fine tuning.
That too.
So thank you for representing, you know, Wisconsin down there. So how many people, and I love that you're, you know, that honesty, that vulnerability about being in a group and, like, oh, we're running, quote unquote, running the Leadership in Action workshop, right? Like, you all were the facilitators of that?
Yes.
Right? And then other people join the circle, and you're like, whoa, that dude's here? Whoa, yeah. What am I doing leading this thing?
Yeah.
So I appreciate that vulnerability. And yes, I would agree that everyone goes through that in their own rites of passage as they choose to step into leadership, right, I would think, in all the different circles of all of our lives, of all of our experiences. Every time you step into, like, I can help with this. Like, what am I doing? Right? But you can continue to tell us how wonderful it probably turned out on your end with your concerns. So how many people were in your circle? Just curious, who was all sitting in the, was it 10 people? Was it 50 people? Was it?
You said you counted 30?
Yeah, I counted 30 at one point.
Oh, nice. That's a nice size.
It was a really nice size.
Yeah.
It was a perfect size. We did not end up going around the circle to each person. It was a different format that we were sort of playing with and exploring together what happens when things just emerge from the circle.
Popcorn.
Yeah, popcorn. You just kind of popcorn style. Yeah,
we did a popcorn style.
Okay.
But it was like, I mean, there wasn't a dull moment throughout the whole thing. I mean, I just knew this was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, there's, the speakers have a bunch of amazing things to share. But at events like this, everybody going to that thing, and, you know, if you paid the money, if you did the traveling, you have something interesting, something budding or welling within you. And I knew, I just had a feeling just because I've been to these things before. And yeah, it didn't disappoint. I mean, it just seemed like people really wanted to share.
Yeah.
And so the people in the circle brought through a lot of beautiful things. And every single time I've been, it was like this at ours, at the Confluence. When you're done with this and when you see what's living in the space, you're like, man, this is impressive. Like, I feel encouraged. Things aren't as bad as I thought. Like, we have the pieces, we have everything we need. It's here, living in the hearts of, you know, everyone showing up. And the more that we can just, that's what I'm saying, the more we can share that, the more we can make that known and piece together and network with that, the more we're going to find the solutions we're looking for, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, that idea of, you know, when you feel so alone at times in life, and, you know, we can admit that in 2020 was kind of wild and kind of isolating by demand and by the way it worked out for a bit. And often I would just say with people in my close community, it's like, you know, we just need to know that we have each other and our divine spirit, of course, always, but that idea. So now you go away to another place, you step into this gathering of people you didn't know, and then out of this, as you say, Kyle, comes this amazing, like, wow. You know, everyone has that something that they want to share, that they want to connect with you with. And it's like, I liked your example of connecting the dots and these points of light, right? You're like, we're not that different, right? And I think that's really beautiful that we're coming to, you know, you're saying before the show, like, we are connected, and that's the value of all this, right? Is we're one people, right? We're one people.
Yeah, I did some really scary question asking in 2020 and 2021, and I had some amazing, amazing, beautiful things come out of that. As scary as it was, I'm kind of sensitive, I'm kind of shy sometimes, I don't think of myself as a leader, but I think I was, just in my individual conversations sometimes with one other person, and calling that out from them too.
Mm-hmm.
How is this time hard for you?
Mm-hmm.
Even though we don't agree on all the finer points, like, how is this for you? It's and I'd hear, it's horrible. People who don't agree with me are really mean. I was like, oh, you too? And it was so interesting to hear us echoing some of the same comments back and forth to each other, or the same thoughts, like, seems like you don't care about health. Oh, it seems like you don't care about health.
So you had opposing views on this situation, but both of you had the same feelings.
Yes,
of being isolated, being
victimized,
judged, being
mischaracterized,
cornered, misunderstood,
outcast,
yeah.
All of that.
That's the healing that we're dealing with
right
now.
It is, and I was so grateful. It did not always go well. Some of those conversations face planted, and I learned a lot from those, but what I learned the most from was those conversations where we really found our common values and our common ground and the mercy that we had for each other as human beings.
Yeah.
That was beautiful, and I will never forget those conversations. I feel so close with those people now.
A real embrace, like you're embracing each other's pain that are coming.
Unconditional humanity.
And it shows you the power of the group mind and how it can be influenced by a media, by politicalization, by polarizing, polarizing. God, you know, that's, there's some play on words there. You know, you can, it's like we lose our minds by getting too involved in that instead of being in the moment with the individual who might be your neighbor, who might be your brother or sister, who might be your spouse, for that matter, kids. That there was a lot of splitting going on through the last 4 or 5 years, and coming together, and hopefully we make a pact as a human race that we're not going to allow that to happen again. We're going to realize that it's okay. Not is it only okay, it's encouraged to have different ideas and different views, especially on health, which we've kind of honored for a long time. The chemical world has taken over our food industry and is definitely working on taking over our health industry, that health comes in pills, potions, or lotions.
Yeah, and we have AI questions to deal with together as a people. We have a lot.
It's still
and
here.
I'm so tired of fighting. I'm done with fighting. I'm done with debating. That all comes, you know, from the mental in isolation.
From the heart.
And to have that mental supported by the heart and the gut and the whole body, like I'm here with you, and I'm curious and I'm interested in how are we gonna find our way together into the future. We can't keep creating the past.
No.
We're all tired of that. All the wars and all of the things.
I would say this was probably my biggest lesson of COVID. You know, because like when COVID started, that pandemic started, you know, everyone's got, you know, this person's got their study, I got my study, that person's got their study, and we're like bashing each other over the head with studies. Like, well, my study's the right study. Oh, who peer reviewed that study? And it's just like, oh my God, it doesn't work. If you've ever tried this, just try it. Show your study to somebody else and see how they receive it. So anyway, what I've learned through that whole experience, I learned a lot of things, but one of them is that whether or not you think you're right is like secondary to just the human connection with the other person and just listening to what they're saying, realizing that they are literally a human being. And treating them with respect and, you know, maybe listening to the beating heart. There's a beating heart in that individual, and they're most likely a loving person, a beautiful person in their own right. And if you close yourself down to getting to know that person because of who they voted for, I think you're missing out mm-hmm. on so much. What do I want to say? The more that we're able to put the beliefs aside and just get to know our fellow human beings, I think that's what's really important.
Yeah, that's where truth really emerges from. We're all looking at the world. You know, God's looking at the world through all of our different eyes, all of our different perspectives. And I don't think we can find what's true if we're not getting all those perspectives, if all those perspectives aren't informing us. And if the truth that we're getting is coming from the screen, the crackle box, whatever, that there's some distortion there. We've had a lot of conditioning in falsehood, and it can be hard for us to know what is true. And that's something I've been really interested in. How do I know what's true?
Janelle, you can see that displayed on the new camera phones that come out. You know, they keep on having more lenses, right? There's always more. There's like 5 lenses on the phone these days. You know how there's always another lens?
Mine must be too old.
Mine's old.
You know how there's like one lens, and then there's two, and then there's three, and then there's a bunch
there's
of
no
lenses.
There's no lens on my Dow phone.
Tell us about it.
Well, I'm sure people know what I'm talking about.
Everybody out there knows.
But it's like, from how I understand it works, is it's coming from different angles. Like having more lenses, like more perspectives, makes a clearer, more precise picture.
Yeah,
and it's like
I love that.
Oh, that's cool. That's
how
a good
it
analogy.
Is. Yeah.
Well, you know, this is interesting because you say, well, when you get together with friends, don't talk religion and politics, or if you're just meeting somebody. Well, you can now add health choices to that process, you know, which we as chiropractors have been watching that for years, you know, trying to see where states you're allowed to be a natural human, in other states you aren't. And now this kind of brought that to the forefront. Where are you allowed to be your original human? And whether you're able to have a baby at home by yourself, whether you're able to homeschool. These are all process. Health and family choices, individual family choices for your own children. Like, oh, well, who owns that child? Who chooses what type of education you have to have? What can you go to your Christian school? Can you go to your you know, Jewish school, for that matter? You know, there's certain states that do not allow homeschooling. You know, this process of it's like, who owns who? And where? And this is a good view of like, oh, now we've expanded that world. Don't talk politics, don't talk religion, don't talk health, and maybe not even talk education.
Just talk about the weather.
Yeah. You know, like, or we can say, wow, why don't we really truly open up and listen and feel? And I think this could be a wonderful opportunity, that this wound that was opened up during this time could be the greatest healing that humans have ever seen, where we can bring together an entire world and say, let's quit fighting over religion, over politics, over personal choices of how we see, how we feel like we want to raise a family, how we want to be together as individual couples. You know, it's where does that, you know, power from some political or some higher power, not the higher power of the spirit, but the higher power of politics, where does that play a role or not?
Janelle, when you're saying, when you're having those hard conversations, you know, and you'd say to someone, how was it for you? You know, long before COVID, Stephen Covey wrote a book called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, which is one of my favorites.
Good one.
And my just past 30-year-old daughter is reading it right now. She's like, that is such a great book, you know. So that was like wisdom from years ago. When we were in our 20s, we first read that. And one of the principles is, seek first to understand before being understood. Ask people first, right? How, you know, how was it for you? What is it like that you're going through? Let's hear what you're going through before I need to say what I'm going through, right? And I you just live that, Janelle, by how you approach that with people, right?
Oh, yeah. You just talked about it with the throwing study at you, throwing this study. You know, it's like, first seek to understand the person, then.
Yeah, everyone has their story, right? Everyone, and they want to share their story. And it's just something really amazing when you're the one in the discussion to first say,
yeah,
hey, I want to hear about what you have to say.
We are creating the future moment by moment in our household, in our relationship with the person at Quick Trip. I mean, everywhere we go, it's our neurology. We're changing our neurology when we decide whether we're going to align with love or whether we're going to align with fear, whether we're going to align with connection or disconnection, whether we're going to align with the Sacred Heart of Humanity, whether we're going to align with, you know, a potential technological tyranny. So we just have these choices that we can make in every moment. Who am I showing up now as now, and what is the energy that I'm leading with in this moment?
You know, I've also learned that interest is a quality that's very closely associated with love. To just be interested in somebody and just showing interest in whatever anybody's doing, and you actually give them the floor to speak about themselves, is like something that another good book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, I think he says something about that, or he says the most interesting person in the room is the one that's the most interested.
Oh, interesting. Who wrote that book?
Interesting. Carnegie? Is that Dale Carnegie? Dale Carnegie, I think.
So this is a something that just came up for me here. This the triangle of life when it comes to nutrients. You know, water, number one, or air. Actually, I know it's actually going to be a dang it. I just messed up my
nice.
My yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, you got a nice design.
I forgot about air.
Gotcha.
Air, water, and food. You can fast for quite a long time.
True.
But the and I'm going to make it a circle. So I got to come up with another one too to make it number five.
There's a diagram. There's a diagram.
Yeah. It's got to be. It's
got
to be better.
You got but little circles.
But I think is what we learned over the last 4 or 5 years is. The nutrient of human connection, that heart connection. You one of the greatest tortures you can do to somebody is to isolate them. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at people that are isolated in prisons. It's just a massive torture, and some of them only survive if they find a mouse that they can somehow connect with.
Wow.
So
it's,
yeah, meaning like the stories of connecting with some sort of energy on this planet just to
life.
Survive. Yeah, any sort of life to see it.
Yeah, and we're we have individual spirits. Well, I believe we also have collective spirits.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You know what I mean. And so, like, you know, one thing that I thought we did well in our circle, and what we should do more of, is allowing like what is there in the space.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you, and in order to do that, you need to listen. You need to listen to other people and to allow the collective being of whatever group, however big, to show its face.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of connection, human connection, at its best, WDRT 91.9, Heart of Wellness, it's all about it. Heart to heart, voice to voice, mind to mind. Let's dig it. Spirit to spirit.
Spirit.
You get at that.
Hopefully you're not just joining us in this hour, because we're having a fascinating conversation. But if you are, our guests today are William Kyle Glenn and Janelle Timmish, and they're giving us a recap of an experience they went through early April called the Confluence down in Bandera, Texas, of all places, called the Sovereign Ranch. And yeah, we're just going in deep, and I think we're all realizing in this room that connection is the key. I like that, Paul, that it's a nutrient, you know, that human connection is a nutrient. And yeah, I mean, you know, I just read a book recently about one of those Holocaust survivors, right? And it's amazing what those people went without for days and days. And yes, their physical form shriveled away. But if they had connection with some other prisoners, right, supported each other, we're not going to die. We're going to make it through this kind of stuff, right? That connection was amazing. And hope. So maybe that's something else we can add in this. Hope. In that story, it's kind of a random thing I brought up, but the hope that this woman just held, this hope. And she said the whole time she knew she was coming out of this alive. She just had decided that in the beginning. And people said, how did you know? And she goes, I just saw myself alive at the end of this.
Yeah, right? What you feel and the actions that come from that, it all comes from the belief that you have. So it's really interesting to look at the beliefs that we have, beliefs that we hold consciously or that we've chosen, and then those beliefs that are not conscious, that are coming down through generations or coming mm-hmm. to us through media. And again, just back to this, like how do I know what's true? And for me, when my oldest daughter was little, I had to turn off the television and the radio when she was a toddler. I just was completely overwhelmed by scary stuff I was hearing in the news, looking into details of evil mm-hmm. all of the time, and so I needed to disconnect from that. And I've been pretty disconnected from news media for a long time, unless I was reading it. I would read it, and I think that I when I come back into it, it seems like a strange land.
I would call it, instead of disconnected, I would call it media free.
Media
just like
free.
You're sugar
media
free.
Sober.
Yeah, you choose.
Yeah.
I mean, these are choices.
I was choosing a different connection.
Yeah, I mean, it messes
I was choosing
with
to connect.
sugar messes with
my
your mind,
family.
You know,
yeah.
and for some people, gluten does, and so some people, it's like, and media. messes with your our adult minds, but really tortures and interrupts the human child under the age of seven. What a blessing that you moved away from that as your children were like, okay, I got to. I have to. It's like, well, I'm not going to eat sugar and drink sodas so I can influence my children in the same way. It's the same way with media. It's like, whoa, back off, because it is a much more powerful, potentially more dangerous than sugar.
Yeah, it can get you out of your body, that's for sure.
And
no, I was just going to say, we have one third of the hour left, Janelle and Kyle, and I want to make sure that you can bring forward anything you want to share with our audience, you know, from your experience down there. I know, Kyle, you're going to do some little one-on-one chats. Did that come to be for you?
Yeah, I want to tell a story about that? Janelle, too. But, so you helped me with this, Paula, and so did you, Janelle, get ready for this. So we came up with this idea of a Where Would You Go From Here booth, and Driftless United for Health Freedom, so people there helped as well. Basically, because you go to a lot of these conferences, and there's a lot of inspiration, a lot of ideas tossed around, but I've seen in a lot of cases people kind of get super inspired, but then they go home, and then it kind of just get immersed in their life, and it kind of falls away. It's happened to me plenty of times. So I wanted to be there as like, hey, like you got something exciting, you hear a cool talk, like let's go, let's process it. Like what? How can we take this and use that momentum to break ground in your life, break new ground. And so I had this little banner that I got printed out at Proline over there that said, where do we go from here? And it was like, it looked like it was a wooden board. And then I made my little flyer, kind of like a little air poster on there. And then I had my Conscious Bro Show shout out right there. I just got a picture for that WDRT did. And, you know, it was a tough getting started at first because it was super windy there. You know, and it rained a little bit, and I wasn't quite prepared for that. So that was a little rough.
Oops, we forgot that in the notes.
it was a little rough getting started, but once I finally got comfortable, it was cool. I mean, like, you know, I'm a life coach, although it's been dormant for about a year and a half. So I'm just kind of starting to get back out there. And, you know, if you come, people will show up. So I just, you know, I was just feeling it out. I didn't really set a schedule, but whenever I would just feel the pull, I would go stand. People came up, and some people got right into it, like, real quick. And we're talking about some really intense, like, you know, stuff that they've been through and, you know, helping them work through. So it was a mix between kind of being a consultant for people that wanted to take action in their life and community, and also, like, doing, like, kind of, like, therapy and like, just deep coaching through traumatic experiences as well. There's a little bit of that. And, yeah, it was cool. It was beautiful. It was beautiful to be of service in that way.
And you look like you're glowing a bit. The Texas sun, or maybe it's just the vibration you've been holding, but you have a nice glow.
Well, good. Cause that, yeah, I think I've missed this work. Something about doing that kind of work makes me come alive or something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I haven't, so it's good to be back out there. I'll tell a story that involves you, Janelle. So through this, you know, I told you I was battling my own insecurity stuff. Like I said, like I, on the second day, like I didn't get that much sleep, and I had a bad headache, and I just had this, I don't know, I just had some emotional stuff coming up, and I just was not feeling that good about myself. And I was really questioning, like, can I like make it through the rest of this conference? Like I was in that moment. I did, when I was walking out, I'm like, man, I did not feel in a good place. And then it was interesting how, like, I'm working through all that stuff. It was just such a transformation that day, because I did a meditation, felt a little bit better, and then I stood in front of the booth. I helped, like, two or three people, and it's just crazy. Like, how can I go from doubting myself so much, and then I can, like, almost, like, sit back and observe myself, like, and helping, like, mm-hmm. helping, offering real service, things that really help. So that was nourishing. And then Janelle offered me this, her amazing zero balancing. And, you know, I had it once before, but it was just like, oh my gosh, I need this every single week or every single day, at least every single week. Because when that happened, it was just like clicking, everything like clicked into place. And, you know, she was tuning the chakras. And all I know is when I got up from that, I was like, I'm good. Like, I feel great. And, like, it was just all the doubt gone. Like, it was like my energy was kind of, like, a little too scattered. And, mm-hmm. and she helped me reclaim all that. And I felt really good. And then I had a football there. And then somebody asked if they wanted to throw it around. And that was like the icing on the cake after the football. after I played football for like 20 minutes, then I was just literally tip top, like just on. And I went from – it was just interesting to watch my transformation. And then that was when we led the circle right after that. So it was just perfect.
Wow.
But I wanted to give you a shout out. I mean, we need each other. We're all here walking each other home. We're all helping heal each other. And I really appreciate what you do, Janelle.
And just so people know, this is mostly off body, right? You're in the field.
I work in different ways. So sometimes I'm working with bone energy, and our bones are connected to our ancestry, mm-hmm. connected to our early childhood and cultural conditioning, connected to old accidents and injuries and surgeries, and then also deeply connected to our core potential and our core connection. So it's a really powerful, safe place to work. That's hands-on work. And then I also do biofield tuning, which was developed by Eileen McCusick, and she was one of the speakers and presenters who was there. So I got to hang out with my teacher.
I didn't know that was where it came from.
Yeah, and that's using therapeutic grade tuning forks in a very specific way in a person's biofield. Nice. So it's this electromagnetic field that all life has. It's a toroidal shape, and we can work through the timeline of somebody's field, picking up and harmonizing incoherence and just really getting your body battery plugged into the earth and plugged into the heavens.
I highly recommend it. So, it's so good.
So that's wonderful.
It is so great.
You know, you went down there because you were sharing some of that work, Kyle.
Her booth was next to mine.
So they were you know, giving your gifts and then also receiving the gifts from this whole gathering. And just as you talked to me, it's like it's just the community of all of us making the confluence of many rivers flow into that bigger energetic field of all of us, right, of humanity.
Yeah. So everyone listening, who are you as a leader? You are a leader. Mm-hmm. And I definitely have to, I'm with you, Kyle, giving this presentation on local leadership, and I'm thinking, well, I haven't done much, not compared to some of these people. But then I was like, hang on a second, I am the reason that we're having this circle.
You and I
are the reason that we're having this circle. I am the leader. And so I just ask myself, how am I showing up as a leader?
I would check that assumption that you haven't done much, or anybody that listening to this, because I've thought that so many times. And then, you know, like, part of the reason why we were there is because when I went to Duluth and I was sharing, like, what Driftless United for Health Freedom was doing, kind of, like, not really thinking much of it. This is just what we're doing. And everyone's like, how did you do that? Like, what? Like, I'm like, we just did this. And then I was like, I kind of like, oh, wow, I guess we have done some significant stuff, you know. And you just kind of, so sometimes you don't really even know until what you have accomplished in your life, what it could mean to somebody else. Mm-hmm. So, you know, do your best to get out of your head and just share what you're doing, because a lot of times you have done significant stuff that you're, you know, not giving yourself credit for.
Well, here's the biggest thing. We're all spiritual beings with a body. We're not a body. So the power of that spiritual being coming through when you're sharing just who you are. A baby is the most healing, powerful experience that I have on this planet. When you hold a baby, they're just pure love. You look in their eyes, or looking in your eyes, you're healed. You know, this is available to us no matter what human we connect with. And we realize, again, the nutrients of our of each other. We need each other. We need, hopefully, we learn from this. And fear separates us. And Paul, you know, there's different maybe powers on this planet that want us separate, because you can control a lot more when you have a lot of fear. And if we realize that our consciousness, our connection, our humanness is what we're here for, to understand that we all love each other, even though we don't know that yet. And we need to realize that again, that human necessity, that nutrient of human connection is more powerful than any drug, than any media, any politics, any army. You know, we need that connection. We need it to survive, or otherwise why even be here?
Right on.
We're down to about 4 minutes, folks. So, Janelle, Kyle, is there any parting thoughts before we wrap up this hour about your experience that you haven't shared yet?
Or favorite speakers, too.
Or anything.
I really enjoyed being there with my teacher, Eileen McCusick, and another innovator, Veda Austin.
Yes, I was going to say Veda Austin.
So these women are true scientists, I believe, natural science. They're playing. They are playing with therapeutic-grade tuning forks. They are playing with water in their in their homes, in their home freezer. And the discoveries that they are making are transformative. So those would be people I would you know, send you to. Check out Veda Austin.
Yeah, check out Veda Austin. That was my favorite speaker, and she's just mind-blowing. She's got something like I think 40,000, she said, or 50,000 different photos of. She has a petri dish of water, and she puts a photo under it, or she puts a saying under it, and every single time the water freezes into an image that's close to identical, very close to the picture underneath. And you can see it. You don't need a microscope. You can just see it. And just example after example after example. It's just, you can't, when you see it again and again and again and again and again, like, and she did a workshop where she showed this too. It's mind-blowing of what's possible. I believe, I was talking to her during when we were eating lunch. I think she's on the forefront of like a new kind of like water science or something. It's absolutely super inspiring, so I recommend people check her out. I'm going to have her on my show, actually.
Super exciting time. And here you were going through and you had all the symptoms. What would have been norm? Oh, here, take a pill. Here's a pain pill. How about, you know, the power that we have in our consciousness? Like Joe Dispenza says, the science shows that you wake up and not allow your body to tell you how you're going to feel. You tell your body how you're going to feel. You're in charge. Your spirit's in charge of your life, and it'll also direct you to what choices you take. Are you going to take a pill, potion, or lotion? Are you going to get some body work that is natural? Are you going to go take a swim? Are you going to take a walk in nature? Are you going to connect with one of your loved ones? Are you just going to meditate a little bit, say a little prayer? These are powerful tools that we have available and have been around here since all our tribes have been around here. How about going natural first, going spiritual first, and see what happens? Connecting with your own soul and asking the universe, hey, I could use some help. Maybe. Then we can only use those pills, potions, and lotions and knives when we're in real trouble, like when we're in crisis, super crisis. You know, we can take care of our own health the majority of the time. So thank you for taking that effort to go down there and bringing this community back to our community.
And we brought the Driftless with us. I love you, Driftless.
Yeah, we're representing.
I love that. So I love that you got to go hang out with the roughnecks on the frontiers of consciousness. I like that line, Kyle, the spiritual cowboys down there in Texas.
Yeah.
So thank you again for sharing your experience with you. And I guess
cowgirls.
Audience and cowgirls. I was going to add that, and then I thought it would get question. You know, I didn't want to get into the gender thing, but hey, okay, cow people.
Cow people. Spiritual cow people. Cow people.
Just call them cow dogs.
All right. So thank you, listeners, for today, and I guess stay tuned for the next Confluence gathering near you.
Let's make life a confluence. Let's all this connect
life
together.
Life is a confluence.
Let all those rivers flow in their own free way, in their own connection, and still know that we're all one. We're one big river of love.
Mm-hmm. Have a great afternoon, everyone.
Blessings.
Thank you.